From the front lines.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgates. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Yeah, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show, the Ring Podcast. This is the 2018 NHL Playoffs Update, as we have our own opinions here on the Forum for the Fans. BleedBlueShow.com is our website. Of course, audio archive episodes can be found on iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, and Stitcher. This is going to be a real loose end dialogue with RP. Going to have some dialogue as far as what he sees, what he likes during this 2018 NHL playoffs. Without further ado, Ranger Proud on Facebook, Twitter, Ranger.Proud on Instagram. RP, there's actually some good games in progress as we speak, as we hear this episode. But what's going on, Ranger Proud? How's everything?
Yeah, it's really good, Steve. How's it going tonight?
Good. I'm right now in progress. This Columbus versus Washington game has been very, very exciting. Matter of fact, this has probably been, I think this has been my favorite series up until this point through the first three games. Are you keeping tabs on this game right now?
Yes, this game, Winnipeg, Vegas later on tonight. Yeah, it took me a little bit of a while, but started getting into the playoffs after like game two of all the series, but yeah, it could go. You know, all the games could have gone either way. Columbus is a feisty hockey club. I tell you, they don't stop. It's just a huge game here for the Capitals. They could not afford to go down 3-0 to Columbus. So 4:49 to go, 2-2 game, has overtime all over it, doesn't it?
Yeah, unless something really happens by the end of the third period. But have you seen the other games in the series? Like Artemi Panarin, I thought he was just a Ranger killer, man. He's been showing out. He has a goal and a couple of points in this game, as he did earlier in the series. He's played outstanding, man. What is it about this feistiness of this Columbus team that you like, man?
You know, they don't stop. They'll just keep nipping at you, and they'll keep coming, and they're not intimidated by Ovechkin on the power play or Backstrom. They don't care who's in goal. They just keep coming at you. It's a John Tortorella kind of team, if you really think about it. It's how he's, you know, always coached, but this team really has bought into the system. So it's weird, but, you know, it's great playoff hockey, you know. The last game in the series went into overtime, and the Blue Jackets won 5-4. They've been all really tight, close hockey games, which for the playoffs is really what I enjoy to watch. I'm not so much into the blowouts. But this is game three. Both games have gone into overtime. So, like I was saying earlier, I it could easily be 2-0 Capitals. It's just the Blue Jackets are earning their breaks. They're making their opportunities pay off. So this is another big game for them. The Capitals absolutely can't afford another one-goal loss.
And you brought up a good point as far as blowouts. Before I get into the blowout games that happened up until this point, but going back to game two and that video review in the Columbus game where they won the game in overtime, that close call with the guy with the puck either clearing the line or the skate on the blue line with the potential offside, man. I think that really could have helped make the difference in the series. Because had it been still 1-0 Columbus, maybe Washington gets a goal back. And this has been a couple of times in the series where Washington has had a two-goal lead and they blew it. And they just – I would say they stopped playing. I just think Columbus keeps on firing away, whether it's Cam Atkinson or Panarin. Nick Foligno, I mean, these guys come at you in ways. We already know about Seth Jones. Bobrovsky's a hell of a good goaltender because we already know within this division, it's a gauntlet. It's a gauntlet in this entire division. What was your thoughts as far as that video review with the Columbus getting for the goal sticking at that time?
Well, you know, the offsides video review, it was something that was looked up at the GMs earlier, and everyone decided just to leave it as it was.
Mm-hmm.
You went so many years you know, modern technology is great, but you've gone so many years without replay. But now that the game got faster and you have all these different views, you can understand why they went to it. It's sort of the same thing in baseball, Steve. But how much of it, I don't want to say hurts the game. I'm just not used to it. I like video replay on goals. I think the NHL in general, picking and choosing a little bit, I would much rather see them review if a puck hit the glass to go out of play for the delay of game penalty than all these offsides. The skate is up, the skate isn't up. Is it dragging a line?
Yeah.
You look how many times you look how many times you have to look at an offsides on replay with all the camera angles they have and all before they can really get it right. So you can understand the officials have, you know, an eighth of a second to call it. And in all these years, they've really had no problem. This all came because a couple of playoffs ago, there was a blatant offsides and it wasn't called. And I think it was in a Montreal Canadian game and the team scored and won and then the guy was offsides by like 4 feet. But if not for that one time, they probably wouldn't even be looking at offsides. So I don't know. I guess it's just where we're at with the league right now. And, you know, if that's what the rule is and that's what the role is and the players got to learn to, you know, to deal with it. If you're offsides, you're offsides, you know. It doesn't bother me that it changed the progress of the game because at the end of the day, that's what the call was. So I don't know. I don't want to say I'm old-fashioned. I kind of like it on certain things, like on goal reviews. On goal reviews, I think it's huge because especially with the camera being inside of the net, the camera on top of the goal line, it would be silly for the league not to help the referee out with as quick the play is. So if you're going to use it, I guess you have to use it for everything.
Yeah. You're talking about the blowouts. The Pittsburgh-Philadelphia series doesn't surprise me. I think Pittsburgh is one of those teams, as long as they get to the playoffs, they're going to really turn it on. I think that's probably the series I probably watched the least. I'm not saying I was expecting blowouts, but it doesn't surprise me. The first game was 7-0, pretty much a damn football score. And then game 3, 5-1 in Philadelphia. Why is the Pittsburgh Penguins blowing out the Philadelphia Flyers? Are you surprised based off the way the Flyers have played well in the majority of the second half of the season? What is it about how they went about in games 1 and games 3, even winning game 2 on the road? Like, how do you look at that series in particular?
You know, it doesn't surprise me. It's weird. You don't want to say the Penguins are the underdogs because they're the two-time champs, but a lot of people are picking the Flyers for that wild-card upset against the Penguins. The Penguins just have so much firepower.
Right.
On the blue line, on the forward. It's, you know, so the scores haven't surprised me. And then playing, you know, winning the first game 7-0 and then winning game 3 in Philadelphia, it doesn't surprise me at all. They're a really good hockey club. So I think the Flyers have to really make the opportunities pay off in order to win the game. And it's hard to do. You're not just stopping Crosby. You got to mark and you got to watch Hagelin and Brassard playing well. But you got to always look at I can't remember the name off the top of my head. I'm sorry. They have so many good players. They're good in goaltending. They're the, you know, everyone hates them, Steve, because they're the team everybody wants to be. I mean, I'm a Ranger fan, and I hate to say that, but they know how to win. They know how to win the big game. They know how to win the close games. They can win at home. They can win on the road, and they have tons of playoff experience. So until someone knocks them off that pedestal, they're the team to beat. So that series hasn't surprised me, and the same with you. I haven't watched it at all. I catch up on it. And I'm reading up stats. I'm not a big Penguin fan at all, and it's just the way it is. And I have always told you, I enjoy watching the teams that you don't see a lot. You know, I'm really into the Winnipeg-Minnesota series. I'm really into that series. I like Patrick Laine. I like Eric Staal. There's a lot on that. For a person who doesn't see those teams, that's what I want to watch. I mean, it's great that every game is on television. So you just flip on one NBC network and you're going to catch a game every night, or all the games. Every night. So it gives us, you know, sometimes you get a little restless with the Eastern Conference and the Metro Division because we live in it and we see it all the time. You know, for instance, if we jump over to the Devils-Tampa series, not a lot of surprises. I thought the Devils played really
well. I thought that was a good game three. I thought game three was excellent.
It was a must-win. A must-win to New Jersey. They played really well at home. They were really aggressive, especially after
the
whistle.
I think that
took Tampa Bay for a little bit of a surprise. The Devils took it to them. Can they do it consistently? That's the trick, you know. And all the pressure's on Tampa Bay. And they're not just supposed to win this series. They're supposed to be the team that's going to knock off the Pittsburgh Penguins and make it to the Stanley Cup Finals. So everything, you know, they have everything to stress out about. The Devils don't. They're not supposed to win this series. So that's Taylor Hall and Butcher played well. Going to Schneider was a good move. Nothing against Kincaid, but sometimes you need that confidence boost. You know, Schneider's a really good goalie. He was the number one until he got hurt. So that series is interesting. Of course, a lot of ex-Rangers. You know, there's a lot of ex-Rangers everywhere but in a blue shirt right now. But that's the way the playoffs are.
That was a good job by McDonough taking out the goalie, though, in that game. I really loved it. He did a great job. He did exactly what he needed to do. J.T. Miller was chippy. Dan Girardi was doing what Dan Girardi does. I think the former Blue Shirts, even Strawman to a certain extent, doing everything they needed to do to really get the Devils out of there, because we want, as Rangers fans, we want them out, number one. Number two, we need that conditional.
Oh, yeah.
But now going back to that game, got real feisty at the end, man. I know it's hockey and all, but it seems like these teams really, really aren't really feeling each other after game three. I saw that the first two games, Tampa Bay kind of had it easy. They had that one stretch where they just kind of what Tampa Bay does. They get a lot of goals in a short time. It's like a knockout punch in boxing. It's like they get like three in like 2 minutes, and it's like, okay, I'm done. We're done. And I think Jersey did a good job avoiding that in game three. But they had some firepower, too, like you said, with Taylor Hall. The slap shots, I mean, they came with rifles in that game. Rifles. How do you think Tampa Bay is going to adjust in game four versus the Devils?
I think they're going to do what they've been doing to get to where they are, just play the game. You're not going to win every hockey game that – you need to get to four first, and they already are at two. You know, they get the split on the road, and they have home ice advantage back again, which is what they're looking for. I mean, they really have it now anyway because they won the first two games. They would love to go back home up 3-1 and possibly, you know, clinch it in game five. Mm-hmm. So I don't think they're going to change much. I think the Devils are going to keep trying to play that feisty kind of hockey. But, you know, they're going to have to be a little careful now because – you also don't want to start giving Tampa Bay power plays. So I don't know if the game's going to come out as chippy as the way that it ended. I think Tampa Bay, you know, got a little bit of a chip on their shoulder now that, okay, the Devils got that one win. Let's show them who we are kind of deal. They have a lot of firepower. They really do. So the Devils are just going to have to play it a period of time and stick to what got them, you know, into the playoffs. They were in playoff position the entire season. They never fell out of it. So they know how to battle the adversity. They know how to stop the losing when they need to. So it'll be an interesting game four.
Yeah. We're talking about the blowouts. Evander Kane, Thomas Hurdle, Joe Pavelski, Logan Couture, man. They put it on the Anaheim Ducks last night. I saw a little bit of that before I went to bed. I didn't see the entire game, but I saw that onslaught in that second period. And I think this series – sort of surprised me because I could have swore last week we said that was probably going to go seven, flip a coin, who you think is going to win.
Yeah.
But Anaheim is really, really looking old, looking real old real fast. And what was your thoughts just watching how they just put it on them in that second period and really continued in the third period? They could not stop scoring. And I think that was one of the things about bringing on Evander Kane, pairing him up with Joe Pavelski, man. I mean, they destroyed Anaheim. I didn't see this coming, man. Not to this degree.
No, I don't think anyone saw it coming. Not to be up 3-0 the way. I mean, eight goals in a playoff game was set a playoff record for the San Jose Sharks, and I think they had seven in a playoff game three other times. I'm not exactly sure, but they'll just first of all, when you watch the game, it looks like everything they do is going that way. You know, shots on goals, rebounds. And it's funny, Anaheim had 48 shots on goal last night, but you never felt any of them were dangerous shots. And that's not to take away from the goaltender whatsoever. 48-48, don't get me wrong. But when you – they didn't have a lot of high-quality shots, but Anaheim's shooting the puck from everywhere. They're just not getting any bounces, not getting any breaks. Everything's going against them. And, you know, San Jose had 36 shots, and not to say they didn't get their shots either. If you break it down by periods, it was pretty even. You know, when you see the number 46 shots to 36 shots, like, wow, 46 shots on goal. But Anaheim had 11 shots on the first, and San Jose had 8. And then they had 19, and San Jose had 16. And then Anaheim in the third had 16, and San Jose had 12. The ice was never tilted. So the number seems to be not as indicative of what the game was. The Sharks controlled the game from start to finish. They're just playing really good hockey. And Patrick Marleau's on a mission right now over there. He definitely knows his climb is running short to get us off. He scored a nice goal yesterday. He's been looking sharp. So we were way wrong with that series because I do not see the Ducks coming back at all. Look, if they pull one game out of this, never mind finding a way to get four in a row off the Sharks. So they're in the middle.
Yeah, they are. Now, what about this other game? What about this other game that's in progress, that Winnipeg-Minnesota game?
It's a great game right now.
It's a great game right now. I think Winnipeg
would change the goal, yeah.
Yeah.
Winnipeg, look, I'm a big Winnipeg fan. You know that I like Austin Matthews. I like Patrick Laine.
Winnipeg?
Patrick Laine on Winnipeg. I just watched the highlight with Austin Matthews on. It's like, oh, there's where it goes. But you want to know something? They're up 2-1 now. They're close to making the series 3-1. They look really good. Minnesota's looked good. Every game's been close here, too. Not a lot of crazy blowouts or anything like that. Just Winnipeg right now has just got that little bit of an edge going right now. They're playing really good hockey. But you can't rule out Minnesota at all. I mean, first of all, they're down 1-0 at home with almost half the period to go, so anything can still happen. But if Winnipeg pulls this one out, then they get to go back home to close it out, which is a good position to be in. So the other series that we were talking about, the Nashville Predators series, that's been a
Can I say something about that series? I don't think Nathan MacKinnon gets the just due around this league. He's played excellent in all these games, but especially in game 3. He really, they got to a nice start versus Nashville. Almost in the Nashville style, man. I watched all three of those games, but especially in game 3 in Denver. Nathan MacKinnon, it's like in the NHL, just for a general fan level, he doesn't get mentioned enough from other fan bases.
It's weird with Colorado. Whenever you hear the Colorado Avalanche, at least to myself, the name I always think of is Joe Sakic. And then after that, you don't
the Nordy.
Name another one, Peter Forsberg. But in recent
Ray Bourque.
Name the only other one is
after the Bruins.
Right. And then they got it now. Ryan Gostkowski.
Patrick Roy.
That's about it. You don't really hear. You never see the Colorado Avalanche on national television.
That's a good point.
They only play the Rangers once, so you know from East Coast side here, we don't hear about them a lot. But Nathan Kennedy is a solid hockey player. He is fast. They did a preview on him on NHL Network last night. He's not just fast. When he has the puck, he's fast. He has so much confidence in his stick handling, and his speed is incredible. They were showing two of his goals, I think, last night. It was amazing how fast he can cut
it
out
the break.
And how accurate his shot was. Yeah. And like you said, he doesn't get the recognition because of the market that he's in. I mean, that's the whole team for that matter. The last time we really spoke about the Colorado Avalanche, when Patrick Roy was the coach pulling a goalie when he was losing by a goal with 4 minutes to go, and that was the whole novelty for that season. So I just think it's just where he is and all. But I tell you, they're giving the Predators maybe up 2-1, but it's far from over that series. Colorado's really been playing well, and the Predators have been trying, you know, to do whatever they could do to get the lead, to score more goals. Patrick Rennie got pulled in a game. You know, Colorado could win game four here, and all of a sudden you had a best of three series. So it'll be fun to watch.
Yeah, I think Nashville has the firepower to hold them off. I think that yesterday was one of those games. It was the first home game in a while for the Colorado Avalanche, and they had good momentum going into game three. I'm not surprised at the outcome. I think it's one of those games that the Predators are going to bounce back. Don't allow Colorado to jump off to the lead that they did. And they have, at the end of the day, man, the Predators just got too much power. I mean, firepower. I mean, they got, we talk about Philip Forsberg. We can talk about Victor Averson. And even Austin Watson is doing a lot of things. And then you could talk about P.K. Subban with the assist on the power play. It's just too many guys. And then you got Colton Sissons. I mean, they got too many guys not for this to be messed up. But Colorado's going to give them all they can. I don't think even they have an answer for Nathan MacKinnon at all, honestly. Even that front line
You saw that yesterday. P.K. Subban really gave him a hit. And
right.
Some people saying he should have been penalty, should have suspended, and PK didn't even apologize where he's like, you know, that's just part of the game. The Predators have the right staff and lineup to not to keep them in check, but to control them, you know, 1 or 2 points in the game instead of really exploding like you did last night. And you were right. Last night could have just been Colorado's game. You know, everyone has an off night. Nashville just might have been off last night. Sometimes that first game, game three in a series, when you go back to the other team's home ice for that first game, it's really intimidating. It's really, you know, impressive how home ice can take an effect sometimes. Sometimes it's meaningless. Sometimes it's really strong. But those first games in the first round of the playoffs are really hard to play. So it'll be interesting to see tomorrow night when the Predators go at it again, if they're able to bring it up another notch themselves again and get that win.
There's a couple other games I definitely wanted to touch on as well, because the Vegas Golden Knights, their game two, that would have been on Friday. That Friday night game, they won 1-0.
The double
overtime. This is a dangerous team. Yeah, this is a dangerous team in the sense of they have a lot of offense, but they could play a tight, gritty, close game that I didn't think. And then they came back and did the same thing game three in L.A., with Alex Tuchin, William Karlsson, Eric Kahle. These guys have it all going, man. James Neal with a couple of points in the series. Braden McNabb. I'm surprised. This is uncharted territory that an expansion team has the potential of sweeping, let alone win a series. And that's even impressive in itself. But sweep. I know they're playing tonight, and we'll see what they do versus LA. There's no pressure on the Vegas Golden Knights, I don't think. What's your thoughts watching that double overtime game on Friday? And I think that really, really even boosted the most of the confidence that they already had. You know what I'm saying? Just winning that game, taking the commanding lead, and then going into LA and winning another one.
Yeah, they're a fun team to watch. And like you said, that I know it's Vegas, but they're playing on house money right now. No one expects them to be productive in their first season. No one, they look like a veteran team in the playoffs. They're not intimidated by the Kings whatsoever. You know, Marc-Andre Fleury is really playing. He's playing the kind of hockey he played when he won the Cups with the Penguins. And he knows that. He's trying to get he's a smart enough guy to understand that they're on a run right now, which they may never be on again, because next year everybody's going to know about the Vegas Golden Knights, and they're not going to be able to sneak up on you the way they did this year. So I think he's trying to get his team motivated to take advantage of every opportunity they have. I think the Kings are going to have their hands full tonight they're definitely playing against a team that has nothing to lose tonight. The Knights could do whatever they want tonight, because if they lose, they're still up 3-1. And then they're just going back to T-Mobile Arena on Thursday night. So tonight, all the pressure's on the LA Kings, and they're going to come out. If they come out the way you would expect a team down 3-0 at home, the first 10 minutes are really crucial tonight. I think if the Vegas Knights can survive it, but only be down 1-0 at the 10-minute mark, they have the Kings right where they want them. You know,
right,
you're not
exactly
taking anything away from Anze Kopitar, not taking anything away from Jonathan Quick, but they're playing almost like a Cinderella team in the NCAAs right now. They're just
right
on all cylinders. Now, look, we've seen this in hockey. It could end the next day. The Knights come out and lose 3 in a row. Not because they're the Knights, because that's what happens in playoff hockey. As good as things are going on Monday, they'll be going horrible on a Wednesday. You just never know. But I think they have a really good coach in Gallant. And even though this is an expansion team, it's a team with a lot of veterans on it. There's a lot of veteran leadership. There's some Sammy Carbonas on there. There's the guys that have been in the playoffs. So even though the expansion team, it's not like, you know, when the Islanders came into the expansion or Philadelphia, it's different now. These guys are really sharp. They really know what they're doing. There's a lot of video. They're prepared. And I think it's been a blast. I've told you all along, if it wasn't going to be the Rangers, I'd have no trouble with Vegas making a good run, you know, going as deep as they can. So I'm not surprised whatsoever by it. I'm just curious to see if they can really finish them out tonight. But I'll tell you something, Steve. If they sweep them tonight, they're really going to show me that they know what the hell is going on. Game four, you know, it's the toughest one to win. It's in any sport. That eliminating game is the toughest game to win. So I'm really interested. I'm looking forward to watching that. Of course, now I got to worry about the overtime game on the Columbus side. So we'll be doing a lot of flipping of the remote now. That game just started, by the way, Steve. So
we'll
you know, it's fun. I think they're going to go deep into the playoffs. But I do tell you, as they go further, and this is for all the teams, of course, it's going to get a lot harder for Vegas. Sometimes the sweep might not help as much as people think, because it's not that easy. You know what I mean?
You're right.
Playing even better teams that know that have been there before. So there's a lot to it, but they are fun to watch.
Yeah. We got one more minute left. So I'll just say quick final thoughts from Ranger Proud and let everybody know how you can be found on social media and your articles and your content. But I'm going to say this real quick, man. The Boston-Toronto Maple Leaf series is also fun, too. David Pastrnak for the Boston Bruins is off the chain, man. I mean, him and Bergeron and Brad Marchand on that first front line. Wow.
He's a monster.
even Rick Nash getting the goal in this series, and he's paired up with Krejci. But please clue that in your final thoughts, too, with the Bruins Maple Leaf series as well, as we're about to wrap up.
Oh, I think that series has been really a heck of a lot of fun to watch, too. I mean, last night it was the defensive scoring. You know, Charles putting the puck in the net. Nick Holden's name got mentioned a couple of times. And that's another one. That series is far from over. They're just beating the heck out of each other. An old-fashioned original six matchup. I love it. So I've been watching that. And you guys can follow me on Facebook at Ranger Proud, and Twitter's Ranger Proud. Instagram is Ranger.Proud. Please follow my stories and share them, guys. Share all the articles you read from Elite Sports New York. I write for the Rangers page. I'm the team boss there. I try to keep things interesting and get different articles and all. And I appreciate all the support, and just keep on enjoying the playoffs and getting ready for the offseason to get started for the Rangers.
Yeah, we'll be back next week for another episode. So we'll be in another round for the NHL playoffs, Stanley Cup playoffs. But one more thing before we go, and I think RP will have to say this. Rest in peace to a longtime anthem singer for the New York Rangers, John Amarante, man. Passed away. Always loved his energy right before the Rangers take ice, you know?
Oh, absolutely. His Rangers time, it was like losing a player today. He was definitely part of the team. He sang at the Garden for over 35 years until he retired in 2015. He did the Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals, which I'm sure everybody's seen that video over and over. It's been played all day today. So rest in peace and condolences to his family.
Absolutely. IRP will definitely enjoy the game. See you on social media as we discuss these games in progress. Other than that, this episode on iTunes Podcast Republic, TuneIn, and your Stitcher app. So, Sangre Azul, Bleed Blue.